struggled with an inactive or sedentary lifestyle? Have you wanted to start running, but you think you're too old, too overweight, too out of shape, and just slow as f***? Well, then you, my friend, are in the right place, because the fit and healthy life that you're looking for is within your reach, and we're gonna get you there. This is the First Mile Podcast.
You know that the biggest Scott's here for you. This next one's going out to that special lady. I know you're alone tonight, but maybe this will help keep you happy, keep you entertained.
Oh my god. And with that, welcome aboard the First Mile Podcast. Oh my god.
Well, the sad part is, that's all going to be edited out, so nobody's going to catch why Brent is broken coming into his first episode in a while. My streak continues to trying to break Brent the second we go live.
Oh, so yeah, let's try this again. Oh my god, yes. Welcome aboard the First Mile Podcast. Oh, my name is Brent. His name, what does that say? Coach Scooter.
Hey, it's been a while. I had to come up with some new nicknames. I'm trying to break you a little bit.
My name is Brent. His name is Coach Scooter, otherwise known as Dr. Scott Ellis.
How are y'all?
What's up, man? Dude, it has been a minute.
It's been a hot minute since our last episode.
Yeah. So we had to take a little time away from the old podcast for a myriad of reasons.
Brent and I were fighting. We were a bickering couple.
Yeah.
We had to go to counseling, hash out a few issues.
We've been a disaster. So a couple months back, we started running into all kinds of scheduling issues, and we could just not find a way to get it together. And then my good friend Scott here had a little mishap, got himself into a little accident.
Somebody dropped the banana peel on Rainbow Road on Mario Kart.
Yeah,
which we will, made the same noise. Yeah.
Yeah,
here in a bit.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a little more detail here shortly. So we've been away for a minute, but it's good to be back in the saddle, trying to figure out how all this works. I'm trying to remember even how to do this.
I had to dust off the mic. Right? You guys think we get derailed now? You guys should have seen me about a month ago. You guys wanted me to do this while I was on my narcotics. It would have been really good.
Those would have made for some epic episodes.
Give me my oxy, my tramadol, and hit record.
Yeah, right.
You think you have to edit out a lot of comments now?
Ooh, it has been, yeah. Those would have been epic. Like,
yeah.
Oh,
hide your kids, hide your wife. Nobody under the age of 30 is listening to this podcast this week.
Oh, so it's been a minute, and we're trying to get our feet under us again, and both literally and figuratively. Here at the podcast. So it's good to be back. It's good to see Scott again. It's been a little bit. Scott rocking the cool ass redhead beard, which is nice.
It is epic. And I really wish we had been recording just to get your reaction when the screen kicked on. Because for those of you guys listening at home, Brent and I are about 7 hours apart within Phoenix. And so we have a little virtual, we can see each other. And as soon as my screen kicked on and he saw my beard, he kind of lost a little bit. It was entertaining.
It's legit. It's good stuff.
It's Nordic at this point.
It is kind of Nordic. It's got a Nordic vibe to it.
It is a very bushy Nordic beard.
I'm just jealous because I can't grow one at all. So
yeah.
It's legit. I'm liking it.
Yeah, unfortunately, as it grows longer, I'm starting to find more and more white and gray hairs that I keep trying to blame on the dog. And I'm like, nope, that damn thing's attached.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I'll say when I have a little accident, I decided I'm going to grow my beard as my recovery beard. Some people have playoff beards. Some people have a few other things. I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to be like, you know what? I'm going to keep my beard. It's going to be a little bit since I can get back to racing. I'm growing a recovery beard, and we're going to see how long this thing gets. And it's been a few months, and It's getting a little wiry. I may have to go underneath and get it trimmed up a little bit.
Nah, dude, you got to let it go. Recovery beard. No shave until you hit the finish line.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so at least form it a little bit, because, you know, y'all forget, I do have an actual job outside of here that, you know, I try to be a medical professional 50 hours a week. And y'all imagine going into like a doctor's office and just seeing like Zach Galifianakis type beard. As you said, like there's like animals like nesting in it right now. And, you know,
they're literally,
thank God for COVID, because I get to use the face mask, but like this time I got to use like a entire shopping bag to cover my beard.
Oh, there are literally small woodland creatures living in Scott's beard.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great. Scott's rocking the recovery beard. We've got that going on. That's pretty legit. I think we have, don't we normally have like some kind of business to get to?
Yeah, sure we do. I think the last time we set this up, email wasn't even invented yet. So I think we were still getting, you know, messenger pigeons, but.
Do we still have an email address?
We still have an email. We've been getting a few emails rolling in. Mostly the emails have said, when the hell's the next new episode coming out?
Yeah.
So
where have you been?
Yeah. Are y'all alive? Awesome. So yes, we do have our email for those of you guys that want to get a hold of us. Our email is, get ready to write it down, thefirstmilepodcast@gmail.com.
There you go. Thefirstmilepodcast@gmail.com. Questions, comments. If you'd like to see photos of Scott's beard, please let us know.
We would
love to hear from you.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
If you want to get into a beard growing competition, or maybe you want me, when I do finally shave this, you want me to donate it to you, seal it in a box and ship it to you, I'll sign it for you.
Yeah, you'll have to get into that little competition with a listener, because I'm not jumping into that one. I got no dog in that race.
I'm seeing what's going to go longer, my beard or your mohawk, so.
Nice. Oh, so yeah, email address.
Diet platinum blonde. Just go full platinum and call it good.
That's right. That's how you do it, man, right there. Nice. Oh, all so right. We got so email out of the way. Yep. We normally play a little game too.
We do.
We got a little game of Would You Rather?
Y'all want to fire it up for me?
Are we going to keep that train rolling?
I would love to keep that train rolling, as a matter of fact. That's my favorite part. The only reason I listen to the podcast. I care less about the back half 45 minutes.
Would You Rather.
That's right. I want our banter on our Would You Rather.
As most people probably do. They just get through Would You Rather, and then we're like, okay, yeah, we're out.
Oh, yeah. Because the rest of it, you got to have some kind of credibility, which we don't have. First part's just
us. We're going to take Would You Rather and kind of try to tie it into the old episode today here. So I just kind of made this one up today on my own.
Okay.
I made this up for you, Scott, just for you.
I am terrified, because I know what we're talking about today, and I want to know how we are tying this one in.
So, Scott.
Hit me.
Would you rather run an entire marathon in flip-flops or walk an entire marathon with 3 6-inch screws in your hip?
Well,
would you rather?
I can tell you, I've done long, long walks in flip-flops, and that damn thing hurts by the end of it. So I'm going to go with walking a marathon with a couple giant Home Depot screws in my hip.
Walking the marathon with the hardware installed. Wow. Nice.
That makes me more bulletproof. A little more iron in my Iron Man.
Nice. Nice. Scott chooses hardware.
That's right.
Look at that. Yeah. The whole 26 miles in flip-flops doesn't sound enticing. No.
I feel like the hit pain from the screws will be a lot less than the blisters from the flip-flops.
Right.
Oh, God. Like, dude, I'm not joking. I walked my dogs 2 days ago, got up first thing in the morning. You know, it's 190 degrees and it's, you know, humid as all get out this week. So walked the dogs like 4 o'clock in the morning the other day, and I didn't want to find my tennis shoes, so I just threw a set of flip my ones I take to the pool. They're closest things. I just threw them on. It was 4 a.m. My brain wasn't working. Dude, it was a mile walk. I came like a half a mile. I'm like, you know what? I'm taking my shoes off. I want to walk home barefoot. These things are so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, I literally walked long enough to get like from the locker room to the poolside, like 20 steps. And dude, I can't imagine doing a marathon in those things.
Ugh. So if you've ever done a marathon in flip-flops, or if you know anyone that's done a marathon in flip-flops, let us know, because I want to talk to that guy.
Yeah. Seek help. We'll get you set up with a counselor.
Yeah. You want to talk to that guy. Oh, boy. So Scott would take the screws as opposed to running 26 miles in flip-flops. So there's a reason we kind of came up with that. And but most people are probably sitting here listening to this. Would you rather go like, what the hell are you talking about?
To be fair, that's what they say when they listen to everyone.
Yeah, that's what they say mostly. But that seemed a little obscure. But like I said, we're going to kind of try to tie it into the episode. So like I mentioned earlier, my good friend Scott here had a little mishap. had a little mishap here. Couple of months back, and we're going to get into that a little bit. So why don't you kind of, and there's a reason I want to talk about this, because I think it's applicable to to runners, to athletes, but especially like I think it's super important. As you guys know, the podcast is kind of geared towards new runners, people who are trying to get started with some kind of fitness program, or really trying to get started with running. Mm-hmm. And basically the overall premise of the conversation tonight, we're going to be talking about setbacks a little bit. And so I want to talk about Scott's experience here over the last couple of months, kind of what he's been dealing with and how we can kind of tie that in and how that applies to everyone who's trying to get started with running. So, Scott, why don't you kind of give us the Cliff Notes version of what happened to you, my man?
All right, boys and girls, let's settle in for story time. Mother's Day weekend. So early May. So I think we're about 12 weeks out right now, 11 weeks out, 12 weeks ago. Going out for my training ride. And the guy that I do all my training rides with, he put his bike into the shop to get just some maintenance work on it. So he was out of commission. So I was like, not a big deal. I'm going to go out and do a little riding on my side of town. And my wife was supposed to be training as well. She had a race coming up. And so we have a big uninterrupted stretch of road that's about 5 or 6 miles north of our house that we can get to, kind of zigzag through some neighborhoods. You get up there and then you can basically ride as long as you want uninterrupted. I think there's one stoplight, really not a whole lot of car traffic. It's a good little stretch. I had a much longer ride. I was actually settling up for about an 80 to 85 mile bike ride. And my wife only had, I think she had like a 2 hour ride or an hour and a half ride. So she really wasn't going all that long. So she drove out to kind of the trailhead out to this long stretch. And I said, you know what? I'm going to bike up to it. I'm going to meet you up there. It's like 5 miles through just some neighborhood roads. I'll meet you up there. That way I can just kind of get some early miles in and kind of eat some time on the bike prior to kind of us getting out there together. Since I was riding for about, twice as long, three times as long as she was. Ride that I've done 1,000 times. Went out about a mile and a half from my house, making a turn, wasn't paying attention, hit a patch of asphalt, and my bike and myself went 90 degrees. I just made a turn, wiped, went airborne. My wheels were parallel to the ground, about 3 feet in the air, and I went down like a sack of potatoes. And I am not a tiny dude. When I hit the ground, I flap. So crashed down, screamed bloody murder. I went, oh, that hurt. That didn't feel good. I'll be fine. Just, hell of a bone bruise. A couple people drove by, heard me, saw me. They kind of helped me to the curb and they realized I didn't hit my head, no spine injuries. They helped me to the curb. I said, okay, I have my phone on me, called my wife, said, hey, I need you to come get me. I went down. I'm hurting. I'm not going to ride. I need you to come pick me up. About 30 seconds after I hung up with her, I'm like, this is more than just a little boo-boo. I probably need to go to the hospital. I'm going to call the ambulance. all right, come get me. Call my wife back. Said, hey, take your time coming here. I called a different ride. Shipped me into the ER. EMS took me up to the ER. I had a displaced fracture of my femoral neck. And they went, hey, that's not good. That's supposed to be intact. Yours is not. So shipped me in for emergency surgery. Drilled three giant screws into my femoral head. Anchored everything back in and then said, you are now the proud owner of a wheelchair for the next two months. And we'll see what happens after that. So I have been, I was in a wheelchair at work and crutches, non-weight bearing for about the first 2 months. And then I've, over the last couple of weeks, slowly been progressing back to being able to weight bear a little bit, be able to walk, kind of as tolerated. I got a heck of a good, cool, cool kid swagger. Because my hip has got absolutely zero strength in it from not weight bearing, not doing a whole lot for 2 months. I lost a lot of strength. So battling the hip pain from now that I'm walking on it, battling the weakness, battling all sorts of other fun things that come along with it. And as we slowly start to get back to some form of normalcy for my life. But that, in a nutshell, is kind of what has happened to me over the past few months. And in that recovery, I was a little unavailable to record too many podcast episodes because I was.
So you basically, at the end of the day, you basically had like a dislocated hip,
yep,
and then a fracture of the femur, right?
Yep. So you know, quick anatomy lesson on your femur. Kind of you have that big ball that comes up. Well, you have about a 90-degree bend from where the ball of the femur kind of drops straight down into the hip. And I pop the ball out of the socket, which is a very hard thing to do and a very dangerous thing to do. And I snap the femur right at the neck, right where it kind of does that curve. The big risk factor on that is when you have that type of a fracture, your hip's really weird. Here's my medical geek out. When you have people that dislocate your hip, you actually take all the blood flow away from the bone. And so the fracture is not really your big deal. The issue is that you're at really, really, really high risk of getting what they call avascular necrosis, or basically bone death, because it just loses all the blood supply and your bone just erodes. And so a lot of people will wind up basically needing to get a hip replacement, which is usually reserved for people over 65. And so when you have someone like myself that is not quite 40 yet, they try not to do the hip replacement because I'm, you know, 25 years younger than I should be. But the surgeon basically in the ER, the surgeon basically said, it's a crapshoot. We're going into surgery. We're going to see what it looks like. When you wake up, you may have a titanium hip. You may not. We'll see what happens. I woke up. They're like, yeah, we were able to kind of reduce it, kind of put everything back in. We're going to see if the screws hold. We'll see what it looks like. No promises. You're still probably going to need a hip replacement pretty soon here though. So.
Wow. Yeah. Well, and I wanted to talk about this for a reason. It is one of the reasons that we've kind of been away for a while, but I really felt it was important to kind of talk about this because for anybody that's listened to this podcast for any extended period of time, and previous to the first mile, if you listened to our former podcast, the Alive and Awake podcast, you guys know that Scott is a ridiculous athlete that constantly trains, constantly races, multiple Ironman athlete.
Playing your hand on a ridiculous athlete.
Well, no, but what I'm saying is my point is it's what you do. It's part of the fabric of who you are. Right. I mean,
it is a lot of my identity.
At your core, you're an athlete. And it's what you spend the vast majority of your time doing when you're not working.
Right.
And all of a sudden, it's just literally in an instant, all of that is taken away. Yes. Right? It's just taken away and it's just gone. And you go from being a very fit, very strong, very able-bodied person. And literally in a matter of minutes, you've gone from that to somebody that's essentially – to a wheelchair. And now you're entirely dependent on other people to help you do other things. And all of your athletic ability is essentially stripped away from you. And it's a huge, huge setback that a lot of times you don't expect, you don't see it coming. It just happens. And all of a sudden we're put in a situation where we're just forced to deal with it.
Right.
And, you know, you're forced to come to grips with a lot of things. It's like all of a sudden I can't do the things that I used to be able to do. Then the questions start to come up. Am I going to be able to do these things again? And you start to get angry and you start to get frustrated and you start to go through this big emotional cycle, right? And these kinds of things, you know, happen. And I think a lot of times when people are getting started with run programs and they want to get started with running, they think it's going to be, you know, they're looking forward to it. They're all excited. They think it's just going to be all puppy dogs and ice cream and, you know, unicorns and rainbows all the time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, bad things happen sometimes and setbacks happen. And it's one of those things that we just have to learn. We have to learn to accept. We have to learn to deal with it. And we have to learn to make adjustments and find a way to continue to move forward. And I know that Scott's doing that right now, you know, with his rehab. You know, Scott's doing everything he can to try to get back. And it's like at this point, his body's only allowing him to do so much, but it's going to require some time. It's going to require some patience. It's going to require a little bit of anger management, you know, and going to endure some frustration. But just Scott's experience, I just think is a prime example of, you know, just how things can go wrong sometimes and how setbacks are a part of life, right? And they happen. And we don't always see them coming. And so I just kind of wanted to have a little discussion about that tonight, because I know it's just something that you're literally going through, you know, as we speak.
Right.
And so I guess I just kind of want to start with, you know, I obviously it's been from a physical standpoint, it's been very painful. The rehab has, you know, certainly not been fun. I kind of want to talk a little bit about, you know, just the mental side of it for you and what your experience has been like, and just kind of, you know, where you've been, I think, mentally and emotionally since that accident happened up to now. You know, what's that been like for you, and what's that road been like?
It has been one of the most winding and non-direct and cycling around roads that I've ever seen. And it is an up and down and changes with the wind type road. You know, one of the things that I hadn't said before, that really, I would say for probably the first month, even 2 months, that made it the worst for me, that I really struggled with, was I was coming in, I was at kind of my peak fitness that I'd ever been. I was actually training for, I kind of had two big check marks this year for semi racing. I had a half Ironman 70.3 distance that I was supposed to be doing in Lubbock, Texas, that I had eyes on the prize for qualifying for the world championship, and kind of setting a few goals that were very unlike me to try to push for, instead of just going out and having fun and racing, but actually kind of put my head down. And I was actually at a point that I was like, you know what, I may actually be able to compete. I'm not going to be a middle of the pack, you know, just average Joe out here like a lot of my races are. And I said, you know, this is the fastest I've been on all three events. I was feeling good. I was finely tuned. I kind of had everything going out, and to have that kind of wiped away, I mean, weeks before the race, like I was basically peaking, and basically have that wiped away. And then I still had my wife and a handful of my athletes were still racing. I still went out to this race in Lubbock, cheer everybody on, and, you know, watching everybody do it, that kind of dichotomy of, I want to be here to cheer everybody on and be supportive, and I'm, you know, overflowing with pride and happiness for all of them being able to do it. But at the same point, I'm like, I'm cheering for you, but it's also just a gut punch, because I'm like, I could have been out there. This is what I was working for. This is what I was training for. I really wish I could have been here. And now I'm watching 3,000 other athletes kind of live my dream at this point while I'm on crutches around Lubbock, Texas. The other big one that kind of threw me out was, there's a thing called the Ironman Legacy Program, which when you finish 12 Ironmans, you get a spot to the Kona World Championships.
my 12th Ironman was supposed to be set for August. And that's obviously not going to happen. So kind of puts a big wrinkle in, you know, a lot of those timelines that I've had built up in my head for the last 6 months, the last year. And so I struggled a lot mentally of, like you said, kind of losing that identity, kind of losing that light, that piece of who I was. And it was rough. I mean, it was, I don't do well with emotions anyway. I'm your typical, you know, fiery redhead that when something's frustrating, I explode, walk around and give my wife's been a saint kind of dealing with everything. Just, she knows when I kind of start getting worked up, she just walks away. Just, I'll be back in 10 minutes. Go ahead and get out of your system.
Right.
You know, going to some of these events, she kind of knows like, oh, you know, I've been now going to go into some of these races and cheering people on and seeing other people do these things. I've joked that I basically have a safe word that it's like the, you know, when the realization sets in that I should be an athlete and now I'm a spectator, I kind of have, right. You know, I get a gut punch, kind of have to walk away. But, you know, I've had, you know, before I was, you know, kind of on the victim side of things, I've had to do enough with my own athletes from a coaching standpoint. I've had to do it when I was coaching basketball, but more importantly, I do it every day as a physical therapist with a lot of my, you know, I literally spend 50 hours a week working people through injury recovery and going through exactly what I am now. And I've been doing that for, you know, almost two decades, where my entire work livelihood is being on the other side, being the caretaker and being that voice of reason of, you are more than, you know, your identity is not an athlete. Your identity, you have all these other components to it. There, let's ground yourself. Let's take a look at some of these other things. And so when I, you know, when my mindset kind of ebbs and flows, when I come back down to earth, I can kind of sit down and say, okay, I can kind of ground myself. Let's start looking at some of the positives here. Let's start looking at other aspects to it. Some of them being, you know, right, first and foremost, actually, when I was literally laying in the middle of the road waiting for the ambulance to come get me, you were actually one of the first people I thought of because of the accident that you went through, that landed you in, you know, much worse scenario than I was. But kind of laying there going, this sucks, you know, and obviously my mind goes into the deep end, kind of goes into the worst case scenario when I'm laying in a crash, like, oh, amputate my leg and, you know, I'm never going to race again and all these things.
Right.
You know, and when the doctor goes in and goes, oh, you know, I've done enough from a rehab standpoint. As soon as the doctor goes, you have a femoral neck fracture, I'm like, I already said, okay, well, I know I'm going to have to get surgery. I know I'm going to have to get this. I'm looking down the barrel of 6 months of this and da, 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 da. And I start spiraling in the back of my head. I said, you know what? I didn't hit my head. I don't have a spinal injury. Everything that I have wrong with me will be fixable. You know, in the grand scheme of things, as a healthy human for quality of life, to be a husband, to be a physical therapist, I will get back to where I was before, slower than I want to be, but it's, you know, it could have been so much worse. And I, you know, I think when you went through your crash, you know, but you know, now in hindsight, you can look back and go, you know, there's a lot of, could have been a lot worse things that came out of your crash, even as bad as yours was. But being able to kind of talk myself through, you know, the amount of times I've had to kind of say, you know what, I'm more than just an athlete for this race. This one race did not define me. I need to look at this. Let's set new goals. Let's take my, you know, all the energy and all the effort I was putting into training and my mental standpoint for this race, I need to reallocate it to a useful thing. You know, I can take all that energy and focus it on all the negativity, the woe is me, the pity party, you know, and not going to do you any good. And so I kind of had to go through and go, okay, I need to recenter my focus on maybe my goals are working on just my rehab, get to the point that I can get hip motion back, get to the point that I can, now that I'm able to stand and put weight through it. You know, I was able to get back in the pool swimming pretty quickly after a couple weeks, because once my wound healed up, because you're non-weight bearing, I put a little kick buoy between my legs and I can just kind of put it around slow and easy. But I said, you know what, it's at least, it's something to kind of give me purpose, give me kind of something to focus on. And I said for something like that, I don't need to swim to work out for my physical fitness at this point. I need it for my mental sanity. I needed something to distract me from, I'm sitting on my couch waiting for my next round that I can take my pain pills waiting for my ice to thaw out so that I can put a fresh ice pack back on. And I'm really tired of watching the same TV show that I basically binged the entire series of because I haven't got off the couch in a week. Right. I mean, to the point.
So you've literally, I mean, just, you know, over the last couple of months, I mean, dude, you've literally experienced, I mean, just a full gamut of emotion, right? There's, you know, there's the days where you've just been, you know, you've been really pissed and you've been angry. And then there's days where you've just been kind of sad and depressed. But then you've also had days where you've been hopeful and you're like, you know what, I'm going to do this. And then days where you just feel it's like, you know what, as bad as this is, I'm still alive. And so there's just this attitude of, you know, of gratitude and gratefulness. It's like, this could have been so much worse, but it wasn't. And it's just this giant roller coaster of emotion. And it's one of those things that's kind of like, and having been there myself, it's like you almost literally don't know what you're going to get from day to day. It's like you wake up in the morning and you literally have no idea like what kind of emotions you're going to experience that day.
That's, and every morning my alarm clock goes off and I just kind of lay there because I said, now that I'm able to walk, and you know, that's kind of part of my rehab is I get up and I do this walk. Lauren walks the dog. She actually handles the dogs. I kind of walk out and I take my cane or I take my crutches or my walker. You know, now I'm kind of getting like trekking, like hiking trekking poles for my balance and to help me out. But I lay in bed and it's kind of sometimes it's a 2-minute conversation. Sometimes it's a 40-minute conversation of, all right, let's kind of do a little body scan. Okay, can I move? Where's my pain at? How bad is this going to be? What do I need to prepare myself for today? Mentally, emotionally, you know, am I going to jump out of bed and go, hey, my hip feels great? Or am I going to take that first step and kind of go, ow, that doesn't tickle. And realize, you know, if I'm starting my day without much pain, is it going to get better? Is it going to get worse today? What's the next 18 hours of my day going to look like? Cause I have a 11-hour work shift ahead of me. And yeah, having to go through that every day of not knowing what emotions this day can hold. What triggers are going to set me off for good, for bad? What triggers are going to make me feel better? What triggers are going to make me feel worse? You know, like I said, and I, the emotion that goes into it for, and I'm a little bit of a unique case. I know at least from, you know, the emotion that goes into the recovery, goes into the healing and kind of seeing it. I mean, if anybody has gone through healing, or they, more importantly, they have a family or a friend that's gone through recovery from, it can be a knee surgery. It can be they threw their back out, you know, grandma fell and broke her hip, and you kind of have to be in some form or fashion, a caretaker. And you kind of have that empathy that has to kind of go back and forth with people. I literally do that 50 hours a week. I have people coming in pain. You know, we always joke that, you know, going and seeing a physical therapist is like going and seeing a tax guy. Nobody wants to go in to see him because if you're going in, that usually means something's wrong. And so, you know, some people are grateful, but nobody's like excited to go in and see it. So most people that I'm working with on a daily basis are in pain, are not able to live the life they want. They are high level of depression, high level of anxiety, you know, immobility, all these different things. And so, you know, it kind of grounds me a lot of times that I walk in, I'm like, oh, you know, look how bad my, you know, I got the raw deal. I got a, you know, I was dealt a bad hand and all this stuff. And I go in, I'm like, there are 1,000 other people that are going through the same thing. Some are going through easier. There's a lot that are going through so much worse that, you know, it's kind of a saving grace that on most days I can kind of sit back and, you know, I when I'm driving into work and I kind of say, thank God it's my left hip that I was, so I was able to get back to driving pretty quickly. And I kind of drive in and there's a lot of times that I'm kind of just angry and, you know, kicking nails in my car ride in. Cause I'm like, my effing hip hurts this morning. I can't really walk. I was late, you know, like late getting out because it took me forever to have to walk and shuffle. And I couldn't move, especially when I was on crutches. I couldn't move the dogs and trying to, you know, I got to go get this shoe, but I got to balance on crutches and trying to put, you know, compression TED hose on. I got post-surgical TED hose on by yourself. I told my wife, I'm like, I that's the only thing I have to, cause I don't ask for help. I'm that stubborn jack wagon. That was the one thing I told them, like, I need your help putting these stupid TED hose on. And look, I go through that in the morning, just frustrated and just get into work. And be like, I'm already angry. I'm already piping. And then I realized, like, I'm dealing with people who are coming off like an amputation after cancer, and I'm having to teach them how to walk again. And I'm getting men and women coming back from war that are like an IED blew up on them, or they have shrapnel here, or, you know, this person was hit by a car and had, you know, they broke their spine and both legs and they're, you know, paralyzed. I'm like, dude, shut up, quit whining. You got a boo-boo from a bike ride and you're going to be back to 100%.
Yeah.
You're fine.
Yeah. You're like, this sucks, but it's not that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? And so, what I wanted to do is just, you know, for the people that are listening, you know, and for those of you who are really just kind of getting started on your own fitness journey, I kind of wanted to take this conversation and Scott's experience, and I kind of want to tie this back in a couple of different ways. One, I wanted to kind of tie it in from the mental and emotional perspective, like we've been talking about to this point. You know, when you start training of any kind, especially when, you know, when you're just starting out, and you're kind of trying to escape, you know, an inactive or a sedentary lifestyle, and you're really trying to pursue this fitness thing, you know, one of the things that you need to understand and that you need to prepare yourself for is that there are going to be good days and there are going to be bad days. There are going to be good experiences and there are going to be things, like we said earlier, that just get thrown in your way that you don't see coming and that you don't expect. And it's really learning how to navigate that both mentally, and emotionally, and being able to deal with that. And it's finding, you know, trying to find the good despite the negative circumstance.
Right.
And it sucks, and it's hard to do that when you're in the middle of it. Right.
Oh,
and it's
yeah.
like, you know, and it doesn't mean that you have to fracture a hip or get hit by an SUV. It could just be an injury that just suddenly takes you down for a couple of weeks, and people just get frustrated. And it's just, you know, it's learning to navigate through that and knowing that, you know, bad things are, you know, things, negative things that happen, they're a part of life. It's just going to happen. And it's all in learning how to deal with it, how to really develop an attitude of gratefulness, regardless of what happens, and learning how to just to continue to press forward to the best of your ability.
Right.
And that's from the mental and emotional side of it. On the flip side of that, there's also the physical side. And I want to talk about this a little bit because this is why I think this is important. One of the things that I tell a lot of new people, you know, I talk to people who really kind of struggle, like say with their weight or, you know, an inactive lifestyle, and they're not really sure how to get started and blah, blah, blah. And sometimes we have this conversation about, I'm a personal believer in the fact that you get one shot at this, right? You get one life and you get one body.
One shot.
The body you got is the only one
you ever, wanted.
Right.
One moment.
Yeah, well, yeah,
but you know, moment. I just had to take it.
Right, but the body, you know, you get one body, right? And it's like it's the only one you're ever gonna get. And why would you not take care of it to the best of your ability? And I know that when I was in my accident, my doctors told me, they said, "Bro, you have a ton of injuries." But here's the deal. Your body is going to heal really quickly and your healing process is going to be expedited because of your current physical condition. And I know the same is true for you. I know your despite where you're at, it sometimes it seems like it's really slow going and it's really frustrating. Mm-hmm. But because of your physical condition at the time of the accident, you were in top shape, and that is going to help expedite the process of recovery, which is partly why I just think it's super important to do everything you can to be as fit and healthy and strong as you can. And why would you not? Because, you know, I'm sure your doctors told you this, but, you know, one of the things that my doctors told me after my accident is they're like, you know, we have seen people come in here in very similar circumstances that are 50, 60, 100 pounds overweight. They're not active in any way, shape, or form, and they just never recover, or they don't ever fully recover, and they're never the same. And I just, I'm such a firm believer in taking care of your body and doing what you can to just be as fit and healthy as possible. And this is a prime example of what I'm talking about. It's when you take care of yourself, when you take care of the one body that you got, when things go wrong with it, you have a much better chance of actually recovering and getting back to normal. And not only that, but getting back faster than the average person.
Right.
And so I think there's a mental and an emotional component to this. I think there's a physical component to this. And I think all of it is really important for new athletes to understand, as well as experienced, you know, more experienced athletes. Right. This is something that, you know, these are circumstances like the one you're going through, the one I went through. No one's immune from that. That doesn't mean this kind of thing is going to happen to everyone, but nobody is certainly immune from it. And you right. never know what's going to happen from one day to the next.
Right. I say, and it may be an you ankle know? Sprain. It may be you're hit by a car, maybe, and anywhere in between.
You know, and right. that's – like I said, yeah, I fully agree. My doc kind of said that. When I went back for my follow-up at 8 weeks, that it said x-rays on it, and the doc kind of looked at the x-rays, and he's like, he kind of looked at it, he goes, when was your surgery again? Like, let me double check this. And I told him, and he's like, you're 8 weeks post-op, right? Yeah. He's like, your x-rays look fantastic. I'm like, oh, good, great. Like, I didn't think much of it. He's like, he goes, no, like, we normally don't have people weight bear until 3 months. He's like, you're looking good. He goes, we're gonna have you start doing it. We weren't even 2 months post op yet, and he's like, no, you look good. And I kind of had to sit. I'm like, you know, I'm not gonna argue with you. You're gonna let me walk again. But I was like, I said, I'm not a small dude. You know, that's for me to start putting weight through a hip. Like, I got 250 pounds that I'm putting through a still healing, snapped in half bone. And right. the guy's like, he's like, you have enough muscle strength. He goes, you had good quality tissue. You had good muscle, you know, you had muscle mass. You had good blood flow. You have all the stuff that helps with your healing. He goes, your body healed everything up right. He goes, you're doing everything right on the backside. And he's like, and he kind of joked to me. He's like, you're doing your PT. I said, yeah. He goes, how often are you actually doing your PT? I said, well, 2 hours a day, 7 days a week. And he kind of laughed at me. I was like, no, I'm serious. I was like, sometimes my PT is like swim in the pool for an hour. Sometimes it's, you know, when I was able to get on my bike, and I'm dead, you know, anybody who's on follows me on Instagram or on Facebook, you know, I was posting pictures. When I was able to tolerate sitting on a bike seat and clip in with my good leg, and my other leg was propped up on a chair, and I would just single leg pedal for an hour. So I'm doing this stuff, which is helping with just blood flow and all this good stuff. And he just kind of laughed. He's like,
right.
He's like, that's insane. I'm like, well, it's like, A, I'm a physical therapist. I know the importance of it. I was doing my own rehab minutes after I woke up from anesthesia. Like, I woke up,
right.
realized where I was, looked over to kind of see what incision was on my hip. Cause I kind of wanted to do if it's a little incision, they put screws in it. If it's a big incision, I have a titanium hip and nobody was around. So I looked over and said, okay, well, I'm able to do this. And within minutes, I was like, all right, I'm in the bed trying to do stuff. And at that point, they were kind of giving me a hard time that they walked in. Like, when the PT walked in to do the rehab, he looked at me. I was like, I got it. We're good. You can go away. And like my brother's also a physical therapist. So I've been seeing him for some of the ancillary things that I can't do to myself, some of the stretching and whatnot. So, you know, I was like, I kind of joked to him. I was like, dude, I do rehab my own 2 hours a day. I jump in with my patients. I'm probably doing close to 3 hours of rehab a day. And he's like, and he told me, he goes, that's why you're healing up, because your fitness level has just made your recovery so much better. He goes, and you're going to be on that small end of the right side of the spectrum of who's going to recover quicker, which, I mean, I shouldn't even be walking yet. You know, I should be still non-weight bearing for another week or two. And they cleared me at 2 months, and the doc's like, he goes, I've never seen anybody clear this quickly. He goes, but all your bones healing. He goes, your bones are healing a lot faster than we're expecting. Go to town. Cool. You know,
but well, and that's all just a testament. Well, I was going to say, and all of that is just a testament to,
right.
you know, the physical condition that you were right. in.
Yeah. That's I was just trying to, you know, I wanted to kind of drive home that point you made. But I wanted to come back to one of the things that you were kind of talking about from the mental aspect, and for a lot of new runners and new athletes and, you know, people who are just new to a lot of different things. So, and I've had this talk with people who are like new to parenthood, people who are new to a new job, excuse me, anything that where you are at kind of that risk of, you know, at someday you're going to have that mental breakdown. At someday you're going to have that, I'm not good enough. I don't, you know, I'm not doing this the right way. I'm a failure. I'm, you know, at, when you're doing a new activity that you run that high risk of, you know, of bonking, for lack of a better word, you know, like you said, it's always easy to go back and say these things when we're in our position here, when we're being able to talk to somebody else. Okay, you know, you got to remember that you're, you know, you're more than this, and you identify as this, and you're doing great. And here's all the other goals that you can set, and find these ways to, you know, kind of recenter your focus and being able to say, okay, you know what, I still have these other goals. I still want to kind of get back to my why I started here. Well, you know, if it was, you know, finding new ways to focus on it, my why was I wanted to lose 10 pounds. Well, if I can't run because, you know, maybe new runners, you get out and you have either improper form or bad footwear. It's not uncommon. You may get like a plantar fasciitis or a shin splint that stops you from running, or, you know, any of these things. Being able to say, well, I still have my goals I want to get to. I still want to lose weight. And you say, okay, maybe I need to learn different ways to do it. Okay, I need to attack it from a different, you know, attack it from my diet. I need to attack it from these other things. Whatever it may be, any of these things where you kind of know, you know, I know kind of from a neutral spot when everything's going right, I know if I'm going to either talk to myself or tell other people, this is what you need to do when you're in these positions. You know, and you need to tell yourself it's going to be okay. You need to get this plan of attack and get this game plan. The thing that I think that has helped me, and that I've tried to consciously do, and I've tried to, when I've had other of my other athletes and my friends that go through the same thing, I always tell them, don't wait until you are injured or sick or, you know, in whatever position that you are unable to do these activities to practice that adjusting that mindset. It's one of those things, kind of, you know, taking stock of who you are, what you do, why you're doing it. You know, we've talked, you know, I think in every episode about finding your why and knowing why you started and knowing what you're doing this for and what your reason is and what you're passionate about and why you bring yourself into these positions. And that's something you need to revisit daily, if not multiple times a day, whether it's running, whether it's these other things. But it's also a matter of, you know, learning not just why I'm starting to run, but I think you brought up on one of the episodes, you know, doing the ask yourself why, was it five times, or ask yourself why seven times, and keep going down that rabbit hole. You know, doing those type of things when you don't need to makes you kind of a little more self-aware of things, so that when you're in that dark spot, you've already kind of run through, you've already answered a lot of these questions, and it's a lot easier for you to grasp what you need to be able to kind of step back and go, you know what, this is actually the right thing. This is where I need to take my mindset. This is where I need to shift what my focus is on. And you're not trying to do it 2 feet in the grave. You're literally, you practice it through, and it's a lot, it's more natural for you if you've gone through. And, you know, so I challenge you guys, when you're on a run and everything's going great, if you're doing a little, you know, 20 minute jog, something simple, easy that you're just going out for fun and you're just enjoying, start taking stock. What would happen if you went through this? Start, you know, if I couldn't run, if I got hurt, if I got COVID and I couldn't work out for 2 months, I rolled my ankle, I had something come up, we, you know, I lost my job and I can't afford to do some of these other activities, whatever it may be, what would I do? How would I deal with it? What would I tell my friend to do if they were in the same position? How am I going to feel? And start going through that stuff so that, God forbid, you're ever in that situation, you know, you can kind of look back and go, okay, it helps ground you again, keeps your gratitude where it needs to be, keeps your mindset in the right spot. And that's what will help kind of keep you driving in the right position and not doing that implosion that we see so many new athletes and experienced athletes suffer from when something goes wrong and you have that roadblock and you have these obstacles that you have to overcome. It makes that overcoming so much easier when you've already kind of practiced that script and you've already talked yourself through what would happen when it's all theoretical
in the past.
Right. And you talk about there's a big mental preparation, right, you know, that kind of comes with that. And you have to understand that a lot of times this kind of thing, it's inconvenient and it sucks. But at the end of the day, really, it's just a detour. It's right. Like it doesn't have to end things. And a lot of times they seem, and this sucks too. It's like these types of things always seem to happen when you're really bound and determined to do something, right? Like I had decided to do my first half Ironman and I was training for that race and got hit by a freaking SUV. And then, famous, you know, you were training for, yeah, you know, you were training for yours, trying to get that 12th, you know, that 12th race in and qualify for Worlds. And it was just like you had this goal that you were dead set on, and then this thing happened. And for a lot of people who are listening, you know, maybe you're finally, you know, you finally reached a point where it's like, look, I am dead set on this. I am going to get active. I'm going to get fit. I'm going to lose this weight. You're committed to it and you're all in. And then like Scott said earlier, maybe you roll an ankle, you know, you tweak a knee, you get COVID, you know, whatever it is, it's being able to mentally prepare yourself for that kind of a situation. Because like I said earlier, there's going to be really good days, and then there's going to be days that just don't go quite the way we anticipated, right? Things are going to happen. There's going to be setbacks, and it's just knowing how to deal with that, both from a physical perspective and from a mental and emotional perspective. And so I just wanted to spend some time, you know, talking about that tonight. I just, Scott's experience over the last couple of months, I just wanted to have that conversation and share that with those of you who listen that, you know, obviously we're not aware of that situation, and kind of try to take that and make it, as applicable as we can to anyone, no matter where you are, you know, in your fitness journey, in your running journey, if you're just getting started, you know, these are good things for you to hear. You know, there's a lot to consider. There's a lot to kind of prepare yourself for. You know, this is a commitment. It's a lifelong deal. And, you know, when you commit to something like living a fit and healthy lifestyle, when you commit to getting in shape, it's a roller coaster ride. And like anything else in life, right? There's going to be good things and there's going to be bad things. And it's just learning how to handle all of that. So, I just wanted to share a little bit of Scott's experience. You know, hopefully that's a motivator. You know, if you're not, you know, if you're struggling to get started, maybe that's kind of a little bit of a boost, you know, an inspiration and a little bit of motivation for you. You know, if you're kind of in a bad place, in a dark place right now, and you're finding yourself injured or frustrated, hopefully this has been somewhat reassuring for you.
The sun will rise again.
Right. And man, I mean, I appreciate you sharing, you know, your story and what's been going on with you. I know it's probably, you know, I don't know if you necessarily like to talk about it, but I think it's good for people to hear. And I'm glad that, you know, you were willing to kind of share a little bit of just about what you've been going through for the last couple of months.
That's, and I when I was laying in the hospital bed, kind of recovering, I was kind of half joking, half serious with my wife that, you know, I kind of wanted to chronicle a lot of it. So my coaching Instagram actually kind of chronicled a lot of it. And when I, for anybody who follows my coaching Instagram page, I go through and you can see when there's, when I'm in a mood, and you right. See a lot of introspective posts I've never been one to shy away from talks about mental health, about anger, depression, sadness, all these type of things. Cause I've been through it, you know, gone through counseling on some of this stuff. And I like to talk about a lot of those things because a lot of people may not, even though everybody struggles with it, you know, whether there's a stigma or they're just unsure of what's going on, or they just think that it's abnormal, that this stuff is so, so common. And the more that we kind of normalize what's going on and let people know that, you know, when these injuries suck, but they're not life threatening and so many people have gone through it, it kind of helps give you a little bit of a boost that, you know what? It's not that bad. I can kind of see the forest from the trees, and I can see this is a setback. This is not a termination. I'm not done with being an athlete. I'm not able to do what I did, you know, for a while. You know, and I've joked several times, you know, kind of that self-sabotaging humor that I, you know, run so well that my wife hates.
I literally talked to my coach the night before I crashed. We crashed on a Saturday. That Friday night, was the first time I kind of spoke the words out loud about trying to qualify for Worlds. And kind of said, okay. And I called him. I said, you know what? I was looking. Here's kind of what's in my head. Here are the times. Do you think this is a feasible option? He's like, hell yeah. Let's do this. We're going to tweak your training. You know, if that's what you have in your mind, you have the right mindset, let's go attack. And we set a game plan up. And 12 hours later, I was, you know, laying rubber side up in the middle of the road. Nice. Still clipped into my – I hit the ground. I was still clipped into my bike. And I kind of told him, I was like, this is punishment for me trying to, you know, think I deserve to be at a world qualifying spot. Like, this is the universe saying, sit down, go back to where you were before, you know, don't get too high. And she's like, shut up. That's not it at all. And she kind of had that talk that she kind of spurred me into going, okay, I need to readjust my mindset and stop with some of the self-sabotaging going through. And so, yeah, so I don't mind talking about it at all. And I probably get more, I joke that I probably went for about 2 weeks. I think every post on my coaching page was only about my hip recovery. It wasn't about anything else. It was just about my hip. And it was some deep, dark, it was some muck that we were going through. And I kind of had to do that. I had to sit back. I'm like, you know what? We're going to put some puppies on here today because we have puppies and donuts for this week. So we need to lighten the mood and put a little palate cleanser in there. But no, I love talking about it. And I love just kind of being able to go through some of those things that don't always get talked about for athletes, but that every athlete goes through at some point or another. But, you know, everybody wants to try to act like they're big and bad and above it. But, you know, we all know we're not.
Exactly.
But trying to make sure that people are comfortable, that if they see that I'm going through it as well, and as often as I've been through this, I've been doing this for long enough that I still make rookie mistakes and I still have those rookie mental spirals. It happens to everybody. If it happens to you, don't be ashamed of it. Reach out. There's so many options out there on ways to make sure you're able to overcome those hurdles in a quick manner, and whether they're physical, whether they're mental, whether they're emotional, ways to get around those hurdles and get back to who you are, what you love, and get you back on the path to your goals as soon as possible.
Right. Well, man, listen, I appreciate it. And I appreciate you just kind of being honest about, you know, where you've been and what you've been feeling and just kind of the emotional roller coaster that, you know, that you've been on, and sharing a little bit about your recovery. And obviously myself and everybody listening, you know, we just genuinely wish you the best. And I just can't wait to see you get back out there and, you know, and get that 12th race and get to Kona and get to, you know, get to see you do the things that, you know, that you set out to do. And I know it's probably frustrating and it's taken, you know, requiring probably a little more patience than maybe you have sometimes, but I know eventually you'll get there.
I have a lot of things in excess, you know, anger, sarcasm. Patience is not one of them.
Right.
Redheads were never born into a patient gene pool.
So. Yeah. Well, but you know, I think it's encouraging. I think it's inspiring. I think it's motivating. And I've got to believe, hopefully there's somebody, you know, listening to this episode that this has really been beneficial to. And I genuinely hope that's the case. And like Scott said earlier, if this is something that you're kind of struggling with or you're going through or whatever, feel free to reach out to us. You know, both Scott and I have been there.
Yes.
Scott is there now. So it's like we know this from firsthand experience. So if this is something that you're trying to deal with, you're not sure what to do, you're not sure how to handle it, reach out to us. You know, let us know. We'd love to have that conversation with you and try to help you kind of navigate you through that so you can kind of get back to, you know, where you need to be, both not physically but also mentally and emotionally as well. So
I was like, you know more than I do. I mean, I had a boo-boo and a – really bad hospital meal. You were in the ICU for like 4 months after your crash.
it was not pretty, but you know, it with a little time and, you know, it all worked out. You know, at the end of the day, we recovered and it was all good, but going through it sucked.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where you're at now. It's like you're in the part that sucks, but, you know, brighter days are ahead and you'll get back.
Right.
And, So that's encouraging, man. And I appreciate you sharing it and taking some time to kind of tell that story. you know, it's an inspiration to me. I know I like just sitting back and watching your story and watching this whole thing kind of develop. It's just, it's genuinely very motivating and very inspiring. And, you know, I genuinely wish you the best in your recovery, man. I hope you can get back out there sooner, you know, rather than later. We're all pulling for you. And so again, we appreciate you guys as always, you know, checking in with me and Scott here at the First Mile Podcast. I know Scott's look like he's probably got to get up and walk around and stretch that hip out a little bit.
I'm going to bed.
There you go. But please reach out to us, you know, contact us if questions, comments, topic suggestions, anything that, you know, you'd like to, you know, let us know, definitely reach out to us. You can reach us at thefirstmilepodcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. And, I guess that's going to do it for another episode. Hopefully we'll get this train rolling again. We'll get back on a regular schedule.
That's right.
And, we'll be back next week for another episode. So we appreciate you guys hanging out, and we will catch up with everybody next week. We'll see you guys.
Y'all stay safe out there.
All righty. See you guys.